This is the Doherty Report. Here's Elizabeth Doherty.
Right now we're talking with Dr. Herb Titus. He is a constitutional and common law scholar. Welcome to the program, sir.
Nice to be with you.
You have a very long bio, which I won't read right now. We'll go over your website and all that stuff. But we wanted to talk with you about the term natural-born citizen. And the reason is, this keeps coming up with every presidential election now. So we wanted to get an idea of what has happened since President Obama became president and some questions about future candidates. It seems that, just to summarize what's happened already, a lot of challenges have been brought forth with regard to President Obama's citizenship. The bottom line was he was born in Hawaii, according to that certification of his birth. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think the place where he's born determines whether he's a natural-born citizen.
Why do you think that?
Well, for example, suppose a French family is in America visiting in Chicago, and the French lady happens to be pregnant, and she delivers a child in Chicago. Does that make that child a natural-born citizen of the United States?
I don't know. Does immigration law say that?
Well, but does that make sense? Does it make sense to think that someone who just happened to be in America and gave birth to a child, that the child is a citizen of the United States of America?
See, it's interesting because the test hasn't been really defined. And to me, there's two issues. Tell me if you agree or not. The first issue is whether the person is born on United States soil. And the second issue is, are their parents citizens or not?
Yeah, well, the soil principle that people rely on actually stems from Old English law, where the king owned all of England. So everybody who was born in the soil of England was really a child of the king, and therefore was a natural-born citizen. Well, that rule doesn't make any sense in the United States, where you don't have that kind of relationship between a monarch and the land. And so the international rule, which was prevailed even during the time that the English rule was in existence, required proof that you were son or daughter of two American citizens, one father and one mother.
Okay.
That's the classic definition of a natural-born citizen.
And where are you citing that from?
Well, there's a number of international sources, a person by the name of Vattel, De Vattel, V-A-T-T-E-L.
Uh-huh.
But if you want an American source, you can find it in Minor versus Happersett, which is a 1920s case decided by the United States Supreme Court. And if you want to go back further than that, you can go back to the Bible. Deuteronomy 17 basically laid down the natural-born citizen principle for the person who is going to be king. So it has a biblical origin and therefore one of great long standing.
That Minor versus Happersett case, we're talking about a couple different things here. We're talking about the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
Well, the 14th Amendment proves that being born in the United States doesn't make you a natural-born citizen. Otherwise, they would not have had to put that in the 14th Amendment. The reason they put that in the 14th Amendment is because newly freed slave class could not claim citizenship based upon their parentage. And so they passed a rule in order for them to be full-fledged members of the polity in America after they were set free by the Civil War. So you don't look to the 14th Amendment to determine who is a natural-born citizen. The citizenship definition in the 14th Amendment is for a very peculiar historic incident, and that was that you had a whole bunch of stateless people because people didn't know where they came from who'd been kidnapped and put in slavery in the United States. And so they resolved it by the provision in the 14th Amendment.
Well, let's talk about John McCain for a second. John McCain was born in the Panama Canal. There's some discussion as to whether he was actually born on a military base there or outside a military base in a Panama hospital. What do you think about his citizenship?
Well, I think he's clearly a natural-born citizen. Both his mother and his father were citizens of the United States. There's no indication whatsoever that they had renounced their citizenship. Quite to the contrary, they were serving the United States in the military. It'd be a shame if a person is a natural-born citizen because they're born of an American father and mother and they're in France or Germany or in Korea or something like that. It just doesn't make sense. You have to understand is what the purpose of being a natural-born citizen. Why is it that the President of the United States, and only the President of the United States, has to be a natural-born citizen.
To prevent foreign influence.
Precisely. What they believed was that if you were born of an American citizen father and mother, you wouldn't have a divided loyalty. Now, why was it important that the president not have a divided loyalty? Well, it's because he's the chief constitutional officer, as set forth in Article 2, where it says he has the duty to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He's the only federal officer who has that duty.
So you think that people who come to this country who are not citizens, who have children here, do you think those children should be considered natural-born citizens?
Not at all, because, again, people are here illegally. They may be here on vacation. Whether the child is born on American soil or not is somewhat accidental, or it's deliberate and in defiance of the laws of the United States. Why should we consider someone a natural-born citizen because they happen to be born on American soil to parents who illegally entered the country? It doesn't make sense.
Recently, the Supreme Court has declined to take up these different cases involving President Obama and the challenges to his citizenship. Do you think that the founders at the time when the United States began, do you think that they thought about things like citizenship, or do you think their intent was more about being born inside the borders?
Well, they certainly believed that someone had to have an attachment to the country. I mean, in the beginning, presidents were not natural born because they were not born of father and mother who are citizens of the nation, which makes sense. The nation didn't come into existence until 1776. And so our early presidents were essentially patriots. No one questioned their patriotism. No one questioned their commitment to the country. I mean, how would you question the commitment to the country of George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson? I mean, it's impossible.
Right.
And those people were allowed to be president. They didn't have to be a natural-born citizen. But look, our forefathers, when they drafted the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they drafted it for the future, not just for the present. They
right.
knew that if they didn't have these rules that protected the integrity of the presidency, then we would have a president who has a divided loyalty. And there's no question there. It's one right now in the White House.
Well, obviously, there's some ambiguity here, though, because there have been a lot of different cases that have been decided in different ways on this subject at the state and
but
the federal level.
That's not because it's ambiguous.
What is it because?
Not ambiguity. It's because some people got it wrong and some other people got it right. It's not ambiguous.
Don't you think there should be a clearer test?
Well, the test is quite clear if you go back and look at history. And natural-born citizen is that you have to be born of a father and a mother, each of whom are citizens. That makes sense. It's a natural-born citizen. Take the word natural.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's by the law of nature. It's by God's law. And who determines whether you're going to be born to a person or not born to a person but God? That's what makes him a natural-born citizen, is God chose that that person be born to an American father and an American mother. What's happened to us, Elizabeth, is that we've forgotten that we live in God's world and God's laid down the rules. We ought to find out what God's rules are instead of making some up ourselves.
You're basing this entire premise on this one case.
No, I'm not basing it at all on just one case. I'm basing it on the law of nature and of nature's God. I'm basing it upon the principles laid down in Deuteronomy 17. I believe in the law of the Creator, not the law of the creature.
Well, how does the law of the Creator have to do with people being born in the United States?
Well, let me tell you, did you choose the parents to whom you were born?
No.
Who did?
God.
God Almighty. He's the one who determines to whom you're born. And he's the one who determines your nationality. He's the one who determines whether you're a natural-born citizen. It's his rule, not ours.
Well, this begs
Unless,
the question.
Unless, of course, you want to go back and live like they do in England and figure that the king owns the whole land and the whole country, and you're born a serf to him, and therefore you're a natural-born citizen because you're his serf.
I don't think that's the reason why a natural-born citizen was considered a natural-born citizen.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's because you're born on the soil of the country.
That would mean, then, that French couple I gave you a while ago, they happen to be on vacation in America, they have a child in Chicago, does that make that child a natural-born citizen? That
Under current
no
law, it does.
Makes no sense.
Well, yeah, but that's the law.
I don't care what the current law is, that makes no sense. It doesn't make sense as a matter of purpose, and it doesn't make sense just as a matter of common sense.
Okay, what if one of them is a U.S. citizen?
Then it seems to me you have to ask the question, when you have two people, one of one country and one of another, you're going to have a divided loyalty. Look at what we have in the White House right now, a divided loyalty between Indonesia and the United States, a divided loyalty between Kenya and the United States. That's what we have in the White House, and it's easy to see.
That, of course, brings up the question about if Ted Cruz were to run for president, because he was born in Canada.
Yeah, I would oppose Senator Cruz. I like his politics. I like his points of view, but I think he's disqualified.
Wow.
He's not a natural-born citizen.
So that's it.
Well, if we're going to be principled about it, it can't depend upon and depend on whether you politically agree with someone or not.
I
disagree with Barack Obama, and I politically agree with Ted Cruz, but I think neither of them are a natural-born citizen. So there you have it.
So the only acceptable means for you is if both parents are American citizens, regardless of where they're born.
That's right, because that is the singular loyalty principle, the purpose for which it applies to the President of the United States. He's the only officer who has an oath of office spelled out in the Constitution. He's the only officer who swears by oath or affirmation to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. All other officers just swear to support the Constitution. He's the chief constitutional officer of the land. What we see with Barack Obama is he's more interested in his political gain and what he wants for himself than he is in the Constitution of the United States. He doesn't care about the Constitution of the United States.
I think I tend to agree with you on that. It seems to me that his loyalties are divided.
Yes, he has a divided loyalty, and that's not surprising, given his parentage. I mean, all you have to do is read his autobiography.
Right. How many generations?
Dreams of his father. His father's Kenyan.
Right. I know. How many generations do you think it should go back?
Doesn't have to go back any generations.
Well.
If you have two naturalized citizens, a father and a mother, and
who
you have
live
a
in
child born to a naturalized citizen, why wouldn't they be a natural-born citizen? As a matter of fact, they might even be more loyal to the country because their father and mother was a recent immigrant to the country, and they came here because they wanted to be American.
Let's say two Americans live in Germany and they have a child.
Yeah.
That child marries another American who's in Germany and they have a child. Is that an American citizen?
Yeah. They're a natural-born citizen. That wouldn't mean that I would necessarily vote for them. As a matter of fact, if they were born of a father and a mother who hadn't lived in the United States for many years, I may not vote for them because I might not think he would be singularly loyal to the country. But he's not disqualified.
This is what I mean. This is why I think there has to be a clear test.
Well, I just gave you a clear test.
Well,
you just don't want to accept it.
Okay. Deuteronomy,
I mean, that's
thing.
True, Elizabeth, if I gave you a clear test,
okay.
It's not an ambiguous term. I'm either right or I'm wrong.
All right.
Okay?
If we let's do a little separation of church and state here. Okay. Can we do that?
I think black and white about that too.
If we take the God's law out of it for a moment.
Well, you can't take God's law out of it, Elizabeth. God's law is there whether you believe it or not. You don't have to believe in God to know
that
God's law.
I do happen to believe
there.
It. I just don't agree with you on this particular point.
Look at Deuteronomy 17. God called the people of Israel into the promised land. And Deuteronomy 17 is Moses prophesied that the people of Israel would want to have a king like all the other nations. Mm-hmm. And that happened in 1 Samuel 8. It's recorded history. And in Deuteronomy 17, it says, you shall not have such a king. You'll have a king under the law, and you select the king only from your brethren, which means you have to be a natural-born citizen. Now, if that's what God would proclaim for Israel, I think that's a pretty good recommendation that I wouldn't pass up if I were forming a nation and a new constitution. I'd say, hey, even
okay.
God thinks that you ought to be a natural-born citizen, and even God believes that a natural-born citizen is one born to both a father and a mother who are both citizens.
Then I'm going to ask you a very controversial question. Someone is not Christian. Do you think they should be president of the United States?
I believe that the principle that there shall be no religious test is a correct principle. As a matter of fact, it's a Christian principle. It's none of the government's business to determine whether someone's an Orthodox believer or whether they're not. And it's totally outside their jurisdiction. So I have no difficulty. An atheist is eligible to be president of the United States. I mean, there's nothing at all that would be make them ineligible. Not at all.
But going with your premise of God's law, I don't understand how that would work.
Well, because you don't understand what Jesus says when he said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Then, whether someone is a true believer or not does not belong to the government, the civil government. So it's outside their jurisdiction. That's a Christian principle.
Right.
Freedom of religion is a Christian principle.
Right, exactly so. That's why I'm saying that the God's law argument should not be something that would be argued in front of the Supreme Court of the United States to who is a natural born citizen. Would you do that?
Of course. We file briefs all the time and cite the Bible. Perfectly relevant. As a matter of fact, it oftentimes illumines the principle that other people don't understand. It's like freedom of religion. It's a jurisdictional term, and it's rooted in Jesus' teaching. You render unto Caesar those things that belong to Caesar, and render unto God those things that belong to God. Thomas Jefferson, in his Statute for Religious Freedom, said, well aware that Almighty God created the mind free.
So would you cite the Koran and the Torah?
Oh, the Koran is a totalitarian system. There are no limits to the jurisdiction of the civil rulers in the Koran. I wouldn't want to live in the Muslim country, would you?
No.
No, and neither do Muslims. They prefer living in countries like the United States.
But my point is, to make a legal argument, would you cite from it?
Of course I would.
Have you done so thus far?
Yes. I mean, you can read some of our briefs, and we have argued those and cited the Bible.
So, in your opinion, President Obama is not eligible to be president of the United States. Is that accurate?
That is correct. On the basis that he says his father was a Kenyan and his mother is an American. And so, that's enough for me. He's not a natural-born citizen.
The Hawaii thing is irrelevant as far as you're concerned, which I understand based upon your argument, what
totally
you're saying.
Totally irrelevant because, again, people travel to Hawaii all the time.
Right.
Foreign people. And if you have a baby while you're in Honolulu, doesn't make the baby a natural-born citizen. I hope not. What sense does that make? It makes no sense unless you're back in merry old England and think that everybody who's born on your soil belongs to you because you're the owner of the fiefdom. And surely that's not America.
Well, and I think your argument is interesting about serfdom and bloodlines.
Well, look, England was based upon the assumption that the king owned everything.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, in America, out west, and I'm from the west, the government owns a whole bunch of land out there that is illegitimate for them to own.
I agree.
Government's not supposed to own land. They're supposed to govern it.
Right.
Right.
I'm totally with you on that.
And so, you know, why would we want to follow the English rule?
Here's a question for you. What about a person who's born in the District of Columbia?
Well, that's the United States, isn't it?
I don't know, is it?
Well, yes.
What about a military base in Germany?
Well, just because they don't elect a senator and representative to Congress doesn't make them any of the less citizens.
What about a military base in Germany?
That's not the issue. The issue is
if the parents are not.
Are they born? Yeah, if they're born to American parents, then they could be born in Germany, the Panama
right.
Canal.
But if they're not.
Korea.
If the parents are not American.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a soldier who's an American and marries a German girl and they have a baby, he's not a natural born citizen. I mean, it's very simple.
It's really not.
It's just that it's very simple.
Because, I mean, there are embassies.
It's a very simple, easy to apply rule.
There's embassies all over the world.
Well, see, today the problem with lawyers is that everything is so complex so that nobody can find out what the true rules are because they're so interwoven with all kinds of legal nonsense. Well, Jesus said, woe to you lawyers, you take away the key of knowledge, you don't enter yourself, and you keep others from entering. This is the kind of thing that you run into in America today. Is judges don't say what the law is, they make it up, and then make it so complex, ordinary people can't even understand it.
Well, I thought it was interesting in all these cases that were filed with regard to President Obama, that they many times did not address the facts presented in the case.
Well, of course not, because the judges don't want to get into a political thicket. They don't want to get involved in the question, and so they find some way to sidestep it and not address the merits of it. Now, there have just been a few that have addressed the merits, but most of them haven't.
Well,
but that's typical of judges. They don't like to take hot-button issues. They like to take cases that are consistent with what the mainstream media has decided to be the American mainstream.
Well, they don't want to be overturned and look bad.
Yeah, because, hey, that's the only capital they've got is their decision, their judgment.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Herb Titus. He's a graduate of Harvard Law School and has practiced in front of, I think, pretty much every court there is. On your bio here, you have a website, herbtitus.com, is that right?
That's right. Well, and I'm affiliated with a firm that's at www.lawandfreedom.com.
So do you think this is going to be an issue in the upcoming presidential race?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so, because I hope the Republicans finally find out that they can't pull the wool over people's eyes and act principled when they're not.
I like that. Because to me, it doesn't matter what party you're in. It matters that you follow the principle.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
Exactly so. Well, I appreciate talking with you. This has been interesting and illuminating, and I'm sure we'll have questions from our listeners on it.
Well, Elizabeth, you've been most kind. Thank you for being such a gracious host.
Keep up with us during the week. Listen to show highlights and daily memos and more. Just follow Elizabeth on Twitter. Keyword Doherty Report.